answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, again, another tragedy that never should have happened. I'll be waiting for the Democrats to, you know, scream about this one like they did with the two martyrs that they encouraged to put themselves into harm's way and their lives, lost their lives because they're obstructing justice at the behest of the Democrats. So again, Democrats never complain or show any level of sympathy for the victims of illegal immigrants or people who've been let in this country that probably never should have been let in, certainly should have been naturalized, or had they been, probably should have been sent home based on criminal records.
That is a fact that you cannot deny. That is Senator Ron Johnson. He's talking about we had another American killed by a Biden-released illegal alien. And where is the outcry for the victim? The question is very simple, and you know the answer, and the left knows it as well, but they want you to ignore it. How many on the left have cried out for justice for those killed, raped, tortured in some other way by illegals in our country? Where are they? Where are they? They're not just silent. In my view, they're complicit. No, they didn't go out and kill someone. They didn't go rape someone. But because they accepted the fact, open our borders to everyone, unvetted, unchecked, should reinforce the fact, you cannot do that. It's dangerous. If you missed our first hour, I'm sorry you did, but I know you can't be with us all the time. But I pointed out a survey in Spain, just concluded, and it was at the same time that the socialist Spanish prime minister began a mass amnesty process to benefit 500,000 illegals in Spain, to give them legal residence and work permits. And yes, there's been crime in Spain by illegals. Are there some that just want to come to the country and have a better life? In Spain, yes, and in here. I've been watching over the weekend a documentary, I believe it's National Geographic, The Border Wars. And your heart breaks for some of these illegals trying to come into our country in the sense that they nearly die in the desert. They're abandoned by the coyotes that try to get them into the country, and once they realize that they might be caught, well, they rush off and leave them without food, without water, and good luck. And many of them just want to come here to get a job because there are no jobs back in Mexico, and try to earn some money and send it home to help their family. They're not coming in here to rob and pillage. They're trying to support their family. Doesn't make it right, though, in the sense that they came in illegally. Obama, Hillary, Bill and Clint and Hillary, and even Chuck Schumer have said, we are a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. So we can't just have open borders. Thank God we do not now. But this survey taking place in Spain the other day found that 80.5% of those aged 17 to 25 reject the Spanish prime minister's mass amnesty plans. They don't want it. They realize if you give that, that's going to be a pull effect. Yes, a pull effect, bringing more illegals into Spain. And Spain will lose its culture. much as they have threatened to hurt our culture. I'd also pointed out in the previous hour that the birthrights issue is so evident from some fresh birthright data by the Pew Research Center in our nation. 3.6 million babies born in 2023. 320,000 of them anchor babies. Allowed to be a U.S. citizen because they're born on our soil. That all goes back to the 14th Amendment. Trump had issued an executive order to put an end to it. They've had oral arguments in front of the court, and the Supreme Court should be issuing a ruling come late June or maybe early July. And that is going to be one of the more critical rulings out of the court. Well, welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. We're here for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And with Larry Connors, USA, you are going to get news, analysis, commentary, and as you just saw, education. We're going to make sure you leave each hour with more information than you had when we begin the hour. And of course, we've all been watching how many of the blue cities, blue states, basically, issue commercial driver's licenses to illegals who, one, cannot probably read English, can't even read our highway signs, and you give them a commercial driver's license, which means they can drive an 18-wheel truck down the highway at highway speeds where you and your family travel, threatening you and your family, threatening other drivers, threatening other truckers. Transportation Secretary Duffy said, "We tried to crack down in New York State.
We audited New York, and 53% of the licenses, commercial driver's licenses, issued to foreigners, 53% were issued illegally, contrary to our rules. And so usually we give states 30 days to come into compliance. We gave New York 4 months to say, hey, what we want you to do is just go back and audit all of these licenses that you've given, and if you've given them contrary to the rules, we'll revoke that license. And in essence, New York said, go pound sand, DOT. And so this is the first step. We said, okay, we're going to pull the $73 million. There's more money that we can pull as we get to the out months. But in the very end, if New York doesn't comply, we can pull their ability to issue commercial driver's licenses. And it's not a New York issue. As you know, commercial drivers don't stay in New York. They drive across the country.
Nope. He's exactly right. And that is why one illegal who got a commercial driver's license in California ended up in Florida. I don't know if he drove all the way to Florida, but either way, he was in Florida, and he decides to do a U-turn on an interstate, crossing through the opening that's meant for emergency vehicles only. The sign clearly says that. But he had missed his turnoff, and he thought, well, there's an opening. I can drive through it. I don't know if he could read the sign or not. But the tragedy that followed is when he starts trying to do a U-turn from one interstate lane going into the opposite lane, a van full of a family crashes into the truck, killing all of them. We also are worried about our safety in the air. And while I'm going to let you hear from Transportation Secretary Duffy on that issue, I do have some concerns that, well, I'm going to have to voice. First, Transportation Secretary Duffy.
We've had a flood of people, young people coming in that want to be air traffic controllers. They have to be qualified. We have to go through an assessment process, but this has been wildly successful. And if you think just what these gamers are doing on screens and they're talking and there's a lot of things going on, they're used to that, and that's actually what you're doing in a tower, in a facility. And so they become well suited.
Yeah, he's talking about these young people coming forward. They want to be an air traffic controller. And again, if they're used to doing a lot of gaming, they're familiar with dealing with a lot of different obstacles and things of that nature. But this isn't going to be a game. This is real life. Real lives at stake. And my concern is, if they're not properly documented and verified, and I mean on a mental level as well, I don't want someone in that air traffic control tower who's looking to cause a disaster. I hate to say it that way, but it's a reality we need to be aware of. And I'm sure we are supposedly making sure we take out anyone who appears to be unqualified or a threat to aviation safety. At least I like to think we would. But we might have to be more careful. I don't know how many are already in the towers that are there not because they were skilled, but they got in under DEI. If they got in under DEI and they're proving to be a competent, more than a competent air traffic controller, all right. But as wacko as some people go, the guy in Louisiana this last weekend that goes and shoots 10 or 12 of his own children at different locations, we need to be aware of those we give access to the tower and put them in command of directing flights in or out of airports. By the way, Air Canada announced last Friday they are suspending certain U.S.-bound flights. Jet fuel prices. The cuts are going to take effect this summer, and it lasts at least 5 months, affecting all Canada Air service to JFK and Salt Lake City International Airport. They point out jet fuel prices have doubled since the start of the Iranian conflict. I pointed this out to you some weeks ago. And in some cases, airlines are now wanting people to pay more for a flight they've already paid for and booked. And if you're planning a trip across the pond, you can expect those prices will probably go up as well. And of course, all the blame is going to be on Trump, right? Of course. Not the issue. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. And I get tired of all these naysayers and those complaining about another 2 to 3 cents a gallon. I'm sorry if it hurts you. I am. But stop your biatching and consider what they did during World War II. Whatever they could buy was high in cost, and even that was rationed. But if you listen to the left, everything going wrong in our world right now and in our economy is blamed on Donald Trump. Perfect example, Hakeem Jeffries. But boy, does he get whacked by CNBC. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
I talk to corporate leaders all the time, and they're incredibly concerned with the instability and the uncertainty that Donald Trump and Republican policies have created. Because as you know, Joe, it's impossible to make sound investment decisions when you have such an uncertain, unstable public policy environment, which Donald Trump has continued to put forward in terms of the way in which he's conducted himself. And so that's highly problematic.
Well, so I just wanted to show you a couple of charts. One is the S&P, one is the NASDAQ. We're back to all-time highs, basically, on most of the averages. You can see that when the tariffs were enacted, that's in the middle of the chart. There was a sell-off, quick rebound, and the same sort of situation happening now. Same with the NASDAQ. And then also, I just want to show you quickly the 10-year note or interest rates. Go back for the same period of time, And inflation is not where the Fed wants it. It's not where anyone wants it. But you would normally see, if there was a true crisis, you would normally see some type of panic or angst in the bond market. So just in terms of Wall Street, you would not know things are going very poorly the way that you describe it. Things are going pretty well.
He's trying to coach or school Joe Kernan of CNBC on economics. Kernan says, well, actually, if you look at the facts, everything you said is wrong. It would not be going as well as it is. He picked the wrong fight with the wrong guy, and he got called out, and I'm glad he did. And then you've got this Philadelphia mayor who just went off the wall the other day because she's complaining that I'm the one that should be able to decide how money goes into our schools in Philadelphia.
How dare you tell me, as mayor of this city, to tell the people in this city that we cannot and should not enact what is one of the most limited powers that we have, and that is to decide how we will drive revenue to the school district of Philadelphia.
I want you to hear that again. I want you to keep in mind, when she says drive revenue, how we can raise the taxes on Philadelphia residents to support a failing school program.
How dare you tell me, as mayor of this city, to tell the people in this city that we cannot and should not enact what is one of the most limited powers that we have, and that is to decide how we will drive revenue to the school district of Philadelphia.
See, are they not in the streets often protesting? No kings, but as soon as they get in authority and in a power, how dare you tell me I am the king or queen or whatever you want to call yourself? Which, by the way, brings to mind another story I'm going to share with you in our next segment. The Montana Supreme Court allowing Montanans who claim to be transgender. Yeah, we'll have that story in detail for you. Plus, could there be a change in the Supreme Court before Trump leaves office? Still to come.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. call to John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The Iranian command and control and government is in absolute disarray because of the devastating attacks across its leadership. You're right. You heard the Iranian foreign minister say it's open, and then the IRGC step in and say, no, it's closed. Regardless, it's the blockade, the U.S. Navy, and President Trump who's ultimately deciding what gets in and out. So he has completely turned the tables on Iran's attempt to hold the entire world's economies hostage, on its attempt to punish the world as a result of this dispute over its nuclear program. But to your point, I promise you, I assure you, the United States doesn't trust anything. Any agreement that comes out will have to be verifiable and enforceable. And back to my position here in the United Nations, the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, and its nuclear inspectors, I'm confident will be a key part of whatever's resolved.
That is Mike Waltz, our U.S. ambassador to the U.N. The U.N. Energy Atomic Commission was always supposed to have access to Iran's nuclear facilities. This is during the Obama administration. They were never allowed inside the country. When they were allowed, they were not allowed to go where they wanted to. In fact, they were not allowed to visit sites to verify you're not enriching uranium to weapons grade. They were simply given basically a white paper report and said, here's what we're doing. Take this back to the UN. There was no, as Ronald Reagan would say, trust but verify. That's the way we've been living with Iran. And we've seen over the recent weeks how much they will lie and twist whatever truth exists. Now, will there be talks or will there not be talks between now and Wednesday? You heard in that report that Iran, on one hand, has said, yes, we want to talk. And then other members of Iranian government regime, whatever position, come out and say, no, they're not. So if they agree to something, will they agree? Will they stand by it or not? We still don't know who really is making the final decision. Trump did say this today. He said, at this point, the ceasefire will end Wednesday. And to quote him, it's highly unlikely I will extend that deadline. Actually, I hope he holds to that. But I will look for Iran to try to find some little glimmer of hope that they can put forward that, look, we're going to be willing to comply. You just got to give us a little more time. I'm done with giving them time. They continue to insist they control the Strait of Hormuz. They do not. It's international waters. They're claiming that they have shut the Strait of Hormuz. They really haven't. We have, because of our naval blockade. And as you probably have heard over the weekend, we had U.S. Marines board a ship that we stopped in the water. It's an Iranian flag tanker in the Arabian Sea. We sent word to the commander of that tanker, cease, turn around, go back. If not, we're going to hit you with weapons. And then saying specifically, clear your engine room. We're about to hit your engine room. So our intent was not to kill. Those on board that tanker were following orders and directions they've been given. We later helicoptered Marines to that ship and took control of it. And Iran considers that, quote, armed piracy and vowing retaliation. So the peace talks with Iran are supposed to begin again tomorrow in Pakistan. But as I said, everything that's been going on has been very confusing at every stage. This fragile two-week ceasefire will expire Wednesday. Remember, that got put into place only when Lebanon and Israel reached a ceasefire agreement. And the issue wasn't really with Lebanon, it's with Hezbollah, the terrorist operating out of Lebanon, firing into Israel. And no sooner than that ceasefire started, then once again, Hezbollah began lobbing missiles, rockets into Israel. And they don't care where they fall. But I don't hear anybody on the left calling out, we should take them to the international court and question about war crimes. And what is Trump trying to do right now? He's trying to, one, keep peace in the Middle East, make sure Iran does not get a nuclear weapon, and then here on the home front, doing everything he can to help stabilize prices for you. He's trying. But the left will have you believe that everything he's doing is just making it worse. Energy Secretary Chris Wright says, no, you're wrong.
But the president's using every way he can to get leverage over the regime to bring this conflict to an end. He's a creative negotiator. He uses pressure in different ways. He uses uncertainty in different ways. And I think, as you've seen over the last 16 months, it generally leads to good results. I don't think we'll see any surprises here. I think we'll have a nice end to this conflict and have the Middle East finally not have a constant terror, a constant risk over the regime in the area, the economies in the area, and ultimately the flow of goods through the Straits of Hormuz. Imagine a nuclear-armed Iran. Not far away from that reality, This is going to put an end to it.
We would hope. And yet the Iranian president says any U.S. peace offers are unconstructive, contradictory. He said honoring commitments is the basis of meaningful dialogue. That would be true. He doesn't mean it if it involves Iran. He adds, deep historical mistrust in Iran toward the U.S. government remains, while unconstructive and contradictory signals from America carry a bitter message. They seek Iran's surrender. Iranians do not submit to force. Of course, the Iranian people don't. And they're trying to stay out of the way of being shot down in the streets by their own Iranian government. And for the U.S. Democrat representative the other day who said, no enemy has ever been bombed in submission, that you don't win a war that way. I said then, and I repeat now, ask him how we ended the war with Japan. President Trump today pointing out, he said, I want to make it clear. One, Iran cannot attain a nuclear weapon. And he emphasized, that's been my lifelong opinion. And he also declared today, all the fake news that exists out there. You've got CNN, NNN, and others still trying to trumpet and say, we're in this war because of Israel. They are our allies. Yes, we want to protect them. But Trump made it very clear, Israel never talked me into the war with Iran because it has been my long belief Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Despite what the fake news pundits and polls state, 90%, I'm quoting Trump from his social media, 90% of what they say are lies, made up stories. And the polls are rigged, much as the 2020 presidential election was rigged. And just like the results in Venezuela, which the media doesn't like talking about, the results in Iran will be amazing. Adding, if Iran's new leaders, specifying in parentheses, regime change, if Iran's new leaders are smart, Iran can have a great and prosperous future. I think the people of Iran know and understand that, and that's what they want. They were the most westernized nation in the Middle East before the Ayatollahs took over. And when they took over, they said girls are not entitled nor deserving an education, and women must cover themselves from head to toe. And they can be beaten and tortured at will by their husbands. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know. Down, down on my knees and begging at thee to learn a little bit more. All that woman taught me to pray. I saw heaven every day.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. I had alluded to this story earlier in this hour. And if, in case you missed it, you didn't miss a story. Here we are. It involves Montana. The Montana Supreme Court struck a blow to biological reality. The Montana Supreme Court decided it would allow Montanans who claim to be transgender amend their birth certificates and change their driver's license to match their self-proclaimed gender identity. The state high court ruled 5-2. This upholds a lower court's preliminary injunction. The mandated Montanans have birth certificates and IDs that match their biological sex. The Montana Supreme Court is ignoring common sense and is too woke. I can't believe that's happening in Montana, to be quite honest. I thought there were smarter people in Montana, but apparently not in Montana Supreme Court. The court ruled that the policy that you must have a birth certificate and an ID that match your biological sex is against the state's Constitution Equal Protection Clause. The court claimed in its opinion, transgender discrimination is by its very nature sex discrimination. Two of the justices dissenting, one of them writing, this court is forcing the state to issue falsified legal documents. Falsified legal documents. And he continued stating, the court rejects what the U.S. Supreme Court and other courts in the country have recognized. Yes, he's right. The U.S. Supreme Court has already been down this road. And that is, one's gender identity choice does not constitute a protected class that establishes a basis for a sex discrimination claim. But of course, from the ACLU, LGBTQ, and HIV Project, the ruling is an important victory for transgenders across the state of Montana and all across the country. We will not stop fighting for transgender Montanans. Now, look for the state of Montana maybe to have the populace grow. And that would be with more transgenders, I would assume. Montana has a lot of land, no more than maybe 1.2 million people. 1.2 million. How many transgenders do you think would be in Montana? Well, we might soon find out. I'll tell you this, if you look at Montana and then you look at the population of our entire nation, has obviously a lot bigger than Montana, as you would certainly expect. and it's estimated fewer than 3 million age 13 and older identify as transgender, roughly 1% of our population, a 300 million plus. 1% of the entire nation. Again, I don't know how many transgenders are in Montana, but if the whole population is 1.2 million, you want to do the ciphering? 1% of that. Let's say 10%. I know it's not that high. But 10% of, let's say, 2 million total population. And yet the Supreme Court of Montana said that men can become women, and women can become men, and we can do it all the way back to their birth certificate and other legal documents. Should I add this fact? The case now goes back to lower courts for more deliberation, as it should. There's a piece in The Hill I want to share with you. The Hill is a leftist publication, but the facts of this case are right on point to an extent. They're saying that Senate Republicans fear their three-seat majority in our midterm election, we're talking about in the Senate, would welcome the retirement of conservative Justice Alito as an October surprise. They could change political fortunes by rallying more GOP voters to the polls at midterm. Alito is a leading conservative voice on the high court, 76 years of age. He's not indicated he's going to retire. I indicated or pointed out to you the other day that Clarence Thomas is 78, 77, I might be wrong on that. But he has not indicated he's going to retire either. Some Republican lawmakers would like to confirm Alito's replacement now, obviously, while they have a 53-seat majority, which might shrink not only in the midterm, but come the November election later. GOP senators, according to The Hill, acknowledge that control of the Senate could flip to the Democrats in 2027. Of course, it had to win a race in GOP-leaning states such as Ohio, Alaska, Texas, or Iowa. And Senator John Cornyn, up for re-election in Texas, said if we did have a Supreme Court vacancy, that would be a galvanizing issue for Republicans. He said if there was a Supreme Court vacancy and there was a nomination battle going into October, could have a whole agenda change. He's talking about the general election. Said a Supreme Court battle would shift the focus of Senate races, might, quote, motivate MAGA voters to get re-engaged and show up to vote. You are aware, and I'll remind you just in case you've forgotten a little bit, Obama wanted Ruth Bader Ginsburg off the court. He was gently trying to lead her out into the hallway and shut the door behind her. She would not go. So she stayed, probably believing that Hillary Clinton was going to win that election against Trump. So then Hillary could name her replacement. And that didn't work out. And with Trump in office, he has now appointed three justices to the Supreme Court. During his first term, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett. They don't always vote the way I would prefer them to vote. And they may or may not always be voting on a constitutional level. But Trump had the most appointments to the court since Ronald Reagan. and it is a 6-3 conservative majority on the court. The fight over Kavanaugh's nomination in 2018, according to many Republicans, helped them increase the Senate majority by 2 seats in Trump's first midterm election. That same year, House Republicans lost 42 seats. But the Senate is what determines a confirmation for Supreme Court justice. And in fact, going into that confirmation fight, two of the incumbents, Joe Donnelly, Democrat of Indiana, and Claire McCaskill of Missouri, had slight leads over their Republican opponents. They later blamed the high-profile battle over Kavanaugh for affecting their races. In fact, McCaskill had told MSNBC, up until the Kavanaugh stuff, we really weren't seeing that enthusiasm on the Republican side. There was a double-digit difference in enthusiasm between the blue side and red side of the equation in our state until Kavanaugh. And then it propped up. Of course, then later Scalia died in 2016. Trump nominated Gorsuch, but it wasn't confirmed by the Senate until April of 2017, again during Trump's first term. Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, also on the judiciary panel, said, I've seen the articles speculating about Alito's announced retirement before the midterm election. He said, I think the rumor started somewhere. Well, that's a fact. And he did say it depends upon their health. And he said Alito, who is 76, or Clarence Thomas, who is 77, could retire later this year. He said, I don't know where the rumor came from, but it might well be true. One senior Republican aide said, I think it could happen. That means we could get somebody confirmed while Trump is still in office and Republicans hold the Senate. And that's the other key. If that becomes an evident possibility, more Republicans, conservatives, MAGAs, independents, sane Democrats will realize we've got to make sure we have a Supreme Court that understands the lay of the land. Not as we saw with the Montana Supreme Court ruling by a majority, overwhelming majority. You can be a transgender if you want, and you can go back and have it changed on your birth certificate and everything else for life. So yeah, there's a lot yet to be decided on that issue. Question for you. Are you a Republican, a Democrat? Are you conservative or liberal, independent, indifferent? Simple question in many ways, but one citizen was asked that in a street interview and had a quick response.
Are you a Democrat or a Republican?
Well, I'm neither. I'm just a Trumpian. I guess that's a new thing now. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a Trumpian. Whatever Trump goes for, I'm with it. I don't trust either side. Two different wings of the same bird. And Trump, he's just the American eagle, baby. That's what I love about him, man. He's the American eagle soaring on the mountain, man.
I love that. An American eagle. Do you agree? This next story, I have to always add in a case like this, he's not convicted, still to be determined, so he has to be considered innocent until proven guilty. It's a 47-year-old police lieutenant in D.C. He was celebrated previously as the first openly gay union chair of the D.C. Police Department. And according to the New York Post, he's now charged with soliciting child pornography, two counts of sexual solicitation of a minor, accused of grooming someone, a teenage boy, for sex. This police lieutenant was a leader of the D.C. Police Union from 2016 to 2018. He's accused of sending sexually explicit messages and naked photos to the individual, who is actually a detective working, quote, undercover. So it's yet to be proven. But if he sent it via text, there's a record. And if he sent, as is stated here, pictures of his junk and other stuff to a child, knowing it was a child, he will be found guilty. Correct that. Should be found guilty. Metropolitan Police Department says, yes, the allegations are extremely disturbing, and we are investigating. One of your own for soliciting, allegedly, a child. We'll be back here tomorrow at 6. Please join us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.